This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening.
We seek an agreement that gives businesses and investors the certainty that the global economy is on a firm path towards a low-carbon future, because that will spur the kind of investment that will be vital to combine reduced emissions with economic growth.
The president speaking today at the climate change conference in Paris that has become a global discussion on whether there is political will in the world to make the hard behavioral changes, to do the painstaking industrial retrofitting, to truly reduce emissions and control global warming. It's also a discussion on whether technology that brought us the industrial economy in the first place can also get us out of these dire consequences to the environment the conference is convened to address. Microsoft co-founder and chairman Bill Gates doesn't even have to think about that last question. He says, yes.
We need to pursue literally dozens and dozens of paths. Each of them will have huge and tough problems. But if we back over 50 different breakthrough approaches, we know that several of those will give us the solution that we need.
It was Gates speaking in Paris on Monday. Tech and finance billionaires Gates, along with Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Ma, Meg Whitman, George Soros, and Richard Branson, all announced they would give a part of their net worth to invest in a high-risk clean energy initiative called the Breakthrough Energy Coalition. The group has a collective net worth of $350 billion, and one has to wonder why, if this was already such a good investment, why billionaires weren't already putting their money behind it. We'll talk about that in a moment. Perhaps because some scientists are skeptical of a techno fix for such a broad problem like global warming.
What is a techno fix? A techno fix is an attempt to solve a problem with technology. A techno fix addresses only the symptoms instead of the root cause. It is called a fix because it does not result in a real long-term lasting solution.
Michael Huseman is an environmental scientist in the Pacific Northwest who believes that using technology to solve problems due to some previous technology is not a substitute for changing attitudes and making sacrifices to reduce energy consumption. The International Energy Agency released a report that tracked the progress of so-called clean energy technologies. The results show that our ability to deliver a future in which temperatures rise modestly is at risk of being jeopardized, and that for the first time since the IEA started monitoring clean energy progress, not one of the technology fields tracked is meeting its objectives. Is more investment the key here, and is there a breakthrough right around the corner that might prove the skeptics wrong? Jason Blumberg is chief executive and managing director at Energy Foundry, a venture capital firm focusing on new energy and clean energy technologies. Jason, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Is more investment the answer here? Are there pathways that seem fruitful at this point?
Yeah, the energy and clean tech technology that we've been developing of recent times, there's multiple things that are coming to market or will be coming to market that solve the needs of the world. The problem that we've had is that it takes a little longer to get things there to come to market. So from the venture perspective, the way I like to look at it is venture capital in the web space was done. You invest and you it's like having a rocket ship take off. And in the energy and clean tech space, it's like having an airplane take off. They're both taking off into the air, but they're completely different. So we can take a different approach in how we develop these technologies.
Gates talked about 50 different breakthrough approaches that we know of. Do you know what he's talking about there? Can you identify?
Well, Gates is talking about making 50 different bets and hoping that a few of them pay off in solving the energy needs. And the likelihood of that is pretty high. But we're making lots of different bets because if we look at and there's a shortage of capital. And so Gates and others getting involved is a tremendous opportunity for the space, both in capital and focus. But the goal is to find some winners.
What is the space? Is it efficiency in terms of engines? Is it a hydrogen system for transportation? Is it a carbon sequestration program that's going to take all of the emissions out of the air and plant them somewhere close to the center of the earth?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, we've been developing this industrial economy for more than 100 years now, and we've been perfecting the technologies without assuming any environmental impact. And so there's a lot of different things along the path that we need to improve. If you think about your life, all the different places that you use energy, from when you wake up in the morning to take a hot shower, if you get in your car, if you cook food, for heat your coffee and go throughout your day, or use your computer or listen to the radio, all those things are different forms of energy. So to solve each one individually is a big lift and a number of things to target.
Well, but again, to try to get an idea of the space, if you're talking about small appliances that people put on their homes that would basically, you know, decentralize heating water, for instance, if you could heat all your water at the faucet instead of having a big tank, that would require mandates to basically put those in place. And it's not clear that the political will is there to do that. So even if you do make the bet to develop it, it's not clear that you're going to have the mandate to get people to buy them. So that's a difficult bet. Barring any sort of mandate, you have to go at the top of the chain where you're doing like sequestration. And I'm just wondering, is sequestration something that you can do?
You could take a different approach, which is what we're taking. There's only a limited number of venture capitalists at the moment in this space. But what we're doing is we're figuring out what technologies will solve this problem. And so the goal is to not reduce the people's standard of living, which is what one, if you just tell people use less, and because a lot of people don't want to make that trade-off, as the president said, it's a problem that you don't feel at the moment. So what we look at is what technologies can be better. So for example, we invested in a water heating company called IntelliHot that reduces your water heating bill by 30% to 40%. And is a better product all around. And so we look at what technologies can we build that will reduce consumption and meet those CO2 goals, but let people live the same standard of living.
How much market penetration do you need on something like IntelliWater to get a payback on your investment? Because everyone's not going to buy it, and everyone's not buying a new water heater. And, you know, some people go their whole lives without changing water heaters.
That's right. It takes time for anything. So if we came up with a new car technology, cars last 15 years. So it takes 15 years for the whole fleet of cars to turn over. And so one example to look at there is a car engine is about 30% efficient. That means 30% of the energy is used to move the car. 70% is heat. You know, you put your hand on the engine and you burn it. If we can capture most of that energy, we can significantly reduce the amount of CO2 that comes out. So it'll take, if we came up with the perfect engine, it would take 15 years for it to go through the system. But that's the government couldn't even move that quick if with mandates, because if you did, it would still take 15 years for the system to move through.
VCs aren't used to betting on that kind of a horizon. I'm wondering if that's why there's so few people in this space. Do you think this Breakthrough Energy Coalition from Bill Gates will bring more people to the table?
Well, this goes back to my initial comment where the web internet space investing in is like a rocket ship. The goal is for it to take off as quick as possible. In the energy and clean tech space, what we do is we invest more like an airplane. And if what happened, we had a whole bunch of people run into the space not too long ago to invest in it, but didn't understand exactly what they were investing in. And the investment, if you tried to take a rocket ship off from an airport, you'd create a crater and blow up the rocket. And that's what happened. It cratered the clean tech investment industry. And so now we're recovering from that. But we make investments just in a completely different way. The goal is to have things slowly grow, but become huge opportunities. And it just takes a different mindset and approach.
Is this a techno fix that Gates is talking about here, some sort of quick technology on top of technology that really isn't going to be any more effective than the technology that got us here to begin with? And are we dreaming of a Thomas Edison?
Let me give you an example. Speaking of Thomas Edison, that's pretty easy. The light bulb. So we take the light bulb. There we had about 10% of it was light and 90% of it was heat. Again, touch the bulb, burn your hand. The LED bulb that's now out, it's about 90% light and 10% heat. So the amount of waste and CO2 that's produced from that is 10 times less. And so if we could do everything at that magnitude, we'd easily solve the climate problem. Like I said, there's a number of different technologies that we need to solve. And we're also working on the generation. So moving from coal plants, which were developed 100 years ago, to much more efficient options.
And technology is a partner in all of this and certainly will be. But the question is, will it be a substitute for serious behavioral changes? And that's really to this discussion in Paris. Jason, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jason Blumberg is Chief Executive and Managing Director at Energy Foundry, a venture capital firm focusing on new energy and clean energy technologies.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.